This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Welcome back to the Daily Digest with me, Sharmila Ganesan, together with Kelly Anisa and Lim Soo Ann. So before the break, we were talking about how people are sitting more and moving less. And now we're moving on to a story about perhaps a bit more movement. Today is April 30th and it is International Jazz Day. So we thought that we'd dive a little into how the day came about. It is an official day declared by UNESCO, but it actually only started fairly recently in 2011. And according to UNESCO, the aim of the day is to highlight jazz and its diplomatic role in uniting people in all corners of the globe. So UNESCO also says the story of jazz is written into the quest for human dignity, democracy, and civil rights. It has given strength to the struggle against discrimination and racism. UNESCO believes in the power of jazz as a force for peace, dialogue, and mutual understanding.
So the idea for International Jazz Day came from legendary American jazz musician Herbie Hancock, who is a UNESCO Goodwill Ambassador, and the day is chaired by Hancock and the UNESCO Director General, Audrey Azoulay.
As part of International Jazz Day, activities are coordinated all over the world, and this includes a series of global concerts, as well as the designation of host cities to host an all-star global concert. So this is where jazz musicians perform in or around a historical landmark. And this year, the events are being hosted by Melbourne, Australia, and Cape Town has been selected as next year's host city.
Sounds very exciting. So here's a quick primer on jazz. It is often described as a quintessentially American music form, and originated in the late 19th or early 20th century. And it actually came about as American and European classical music entwined with African and slave folk songs, particularly from the West African cultures. And New Orleans, with its history of, a rather dark history of plantations and slave ownership, is actually considered to be the birthplace of jazz. And jazz is actually quite difficult to define because it encompasses such a wide variety of musical styles and over a course of 100 years. And this includes things like ragtime, rock fusion, blues, swing, and even military band music. But some of the typical characteristics of jazz include improvisation. It includes things like the call and response style of vocals, which is very much derived from African folk music, the use of polyrhythms, where different kinds of rhythms are used simultaneously, and also the use of swing and blues notes. And personal interpretation is one of the jazz genre's, one of the biggest draws, because each individual musician then infuses the music with his or her own style and their own embellishments.
And the 1920s is often considered the golden age of jazz. And since then, it has gone on to not only be a major form of musical expression, but also evolved and taken root globally. So this era saw the rise of legendary musicians that are still idolized today, such as Duke Ellington, Fats Waller, Louis Armstrong, Sophie Tucker, and Ethel Waters. Other musicians who have become indelible from the world of jazz include performers like Ella Fitzgerald, Nat King Cole, Miles Davis, Nina Simone. The list can just go on and on.
And jazz has become more and more widespread. The way it has interpreted evolved as well. So over the decades, we started getting movements like cool jazz in the 40s, free jazz in the 50s, and jazz rock fusion in the 60s. And since then, we've had everything from Latin and African Afro-Cuban jazz to jazz funk, acid jazz, and punk jazz.
So like many parts of the world, Malaysia has its own jazz scene as well. And we do actually have our own International Jazz Day celebration that happens here in Kuala Lumpur. So I spoke earlier today to jazz performer and musician Junji Delfino, who started the events here in KL. So Junji, how did jazz become such a staple in the Malaysian music scene?
Well, I first came here in the mid-80s, and it had already kind of a nice, albeit small, jazz fraternity going on at that time. But the beginnings of jazz, I would imagine, as far as my knowledge goes, it stemmed from the likes of the Alfonso Solianos, the Jimmy Boyles, and, you know, when they, in their time, started to do their jazz big bands and things like that, they were the ones that actually got the ball rolling. and it was picked up later on by people like, of course, now someone who is deemed as the godfather of Malaysian jazz, Michael Veerapan himself, who he himself was actually taught by Alfonso Soliano. So predecessors, you know, they pick up the torch from the ones that came before them. So that's how it kind of became the scene that we are building up on now.
How would you actually define what Malaysian jazz is?
Malaysian jazz, it's very much rooted, I mean, jazz being jazz, it's from the Western world. It originated from the Western world. I don't even think I can describe Malaysian jazz for you, because I can't really pinpoint one particular sound to one particular Malaysian artist that I can pin down as someone who has done Malaysian jazz. Everything is, all the jazz musicians that I know and work with, from Michael to Chir Siang to Julian to my husband, they all have taken off from jazz, as we all understand from what we have listened to, you know, from when we were young, which came from the Western world, the likes of the big band sounds of Count Basie and Duke Ellington and all these fellows and all the jazz artists, so many of them, pianists, Herbie Hancock and Monty Alexander, all big names, singers, Ella Fitzgerald, Sarah Vaughan, right up to the ones who are still alive and making a wonderful, their presence wonderfully felt in the jazz world, Roberto Gamberini, Sarah Gazarek, Esperanza Spalding, so many of them that are really doing amazing work in the continuity of jazz from the time of our of actually the ones that came before us that have laid the foundation for all of us to pick up from. But going back to your question, I suppose they do create there's a lot of local compositions by artists. My husband is one of them. Chir Siang, Michael, they have all such wonderful compositions. And are they Malaysian in sound? I suppose it's their spirit as Malaysians that would define the end product. Mm. You know, it's their understanding of jazz, from how they have been educated in it. It's their spirit as Malaysians that they carry that inevitably brings forth the sound and the melodies and the lyrics that they put on paper. Mm. So in that respect, I believe we have a wonderfully healthy and robust scene, from the handful of people out there that are churning out work. I can only hope that the younger generation, the ones that are coming in our wake, are going to continue that, you know. And I think looking at what is in the market and what these new breed of talent coming up, I think we're pretty. I think it augurs well for the future of Malaysian jazz. And of course, people like Michael and Julian and Chir Siang, they are all educators as well. So they are also building up a new generation, you know, that will continue the work that they have started.
So you've actually been on the scene, the Malaysian jazz scene, since the 80s, as you mentioned. How have you seen the Malaysian jazz scene develop and change and evolve over the years?
I'm happy to say that it has actually grown from those early days of when I first came to Malaysia in the mid-80s. I see a lot more people that actually come out for gigs. There's a lot more appreciation. There's also, I mean, we have people like Che Xiang, Julian, the guys that have kind of helped to bring jazz out to a bigger audience. And they have tapped into the Chinese market, because a lot of the younger players at the moment, I mean, I'm not pulling a racial thing here, but it's just that I find a lot of the performers now, because of UCSI, the colleges that have started jazz programs, even Aswara, there's also a lot of young Malay players, and it's wonderful, because I see this busyness in the marketplace. You know, there's a lot of this, like for instance, this jazz day, we're having it over 2 days. We actually have two full big band orchestras, which even I got surprised, because I didn't know that there were more than one of students, you know, like younger people getting into the big band scene, getting into that big band frame of mind. It's wonderful to see. And I suppose for people like us plodding behind the scenes to try and make sure that we continue the awareness of jazz, and to continue to create a market for it in the future, it's nice to see this thing happening, you know.
And you started the KL International Jazz Day event, which has been actually happening since 2012. So what was the intention behind it?
The intention behind it was pure and simple. It was when it was sanctioned by UNESCO in late 2011 to designate 30th of April as International Jazz Day. I thought, wow, such a great initiative, you know. And everyone talks about jazz and how jazz is a good thing. Everybody latches on to, oh, this is jazz, that is jazz, this is jazz, that is jazz. But then a lot of the time you go and see that it's not entirely very clear cut, you know, like sometimes there's very gray areas in between where you find other genres in jazz festivals or jazz performances. And then you question, you know, what is jazz, you know? but when that happened, I was like, wow, here's a body of people, jazz practitioners, jazz professionals, respected globally, getting together to put jazz, to dedicate a day, you know, to this genre, to the performers, to the work that has been created in the field. And I thought, you know, we do have a pretty awesome jazz community in Malaysia. We have a wealth of musicians. They're just not recognized or respected as much as we would want them to be, I suppose. And so I thought, hey, let's do this. So in 2012, I decided, celebrate with the community. So back then, I worked alongside Michael Verpan. He said, yeah, okay, let's do something. I said, let's do something. Like, let's start like at 6 p.m. until midnight, and let's just invite people, invite musicians, and see who wants in, you know, because it's a non-paying event, so none of us get paid for it, none of the performers get paid for it. It's just essentially a time of catching up with our colleagues in the marketplace, you know, mm-hmm. because half the time we are all busy working and earning a living, that we don't actually get to go and watch each other perform. So I said, hey, let's go and let's have a party, you know. And all we needed was just like a willing venue to host us. We play for free, but you feed us for free and give us some drinks, and then we rock the house, you know. So that's how it all got started, and it has continued since then, and it has graduated from just being a one-day affair to 2 days, because this year, for some strange reason, even I was surprised when I put out, every year I'll start a WhatsApp group chat of all the musicians on my contact list, and everyone was free. And that's how I ended up with 100 over people committing to this event, and I was like, wow, this is wonderful.
That was jazz performer Junji Delfino, who is also the founder of the Kuala Lumpur International Jazz Day. If you're interested to attend the performances, they are happening tonight and tomorrow night at Sold Out Kuala Lumpur. For seat reservations, call 012-200-1955 or check out Sold Out's Facebook page.
For more jazz music and conversation, do check out Take 5, which is on every Thursday at 10 p.m., or The Flow, which is on every Friday at 10 p.m.
And that is all we have for you today. But you can keep the conversation going. You can tweet us at BFM Radio. You can WhatsApp us at 018-789-8899. We're also on Facebook. You can look up BFM The Bigger Picture. And if you missed any part of the show, you can download the podcasts on BFM.my, on our BFM app, and also on Spotify. Coming up at 3 p.m. on Front Row, I'll be speaking to the people behind an upcoming Mek Mulung performance that is happening right here in KL. Mek Mulung is actually a 400-year-old Kedahan art form. We'll leave you now with a little bit more jazz to celebrate International Jazz Day. Here is Junji Delfino with the 59th Street Bridge on BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.